No, I think we'll forever will be wanting to teach our children how to do this. But I think that it's certainly this whole idea of the extent that bullying has been such a major, major problem. I think that's going to begin to see a reduction.
Welcome to Consciously Speaking, exploring the evolution and revolution. On Consciously Speaking, you'll be introduced to guests from all walks of mindful development. Spark up your spirituality, crank up your consciousness, and mend your mind. Right here on Consciously Speaking with your host, Michael Neely.
Hello, conscious explorers. Welcome to your sweet spot for mindful awareness and waking up. I'm your host, Michael Neely, and you're listening to Consciously Speaking. Today's episode is being brought to you by Dean Roberts, so let's hear a word from the man himself.
Hi, this is Dean Roberts. Recently, Michael interviewed me about my new book, I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead. And since then, I've become a great fan of his podcast. I don't go anywhere in the car or do anything around the house without listening. And I'm happy to sponsor today's show.
Thank you, Dean, for sponsoring today's show. I really appreciate it. And now today's guest is Bruce Langford. Bruce became passionate about helping bullied children in 2003 when he saw firsthand the negative effects of bullying in the school where he taught. Bruce left the profession to become an entrepreneur and has delivered anti-bullying and respect presentations nationally and internationally for over a decade. Bruce was invited by Brian Tracy to be a co-writer in the best-selling book Cracking the Success Code. Taking his work a step further this month, Bruce will launch his own podcast called Mindfulness Mode. In it, he will feature interviews and stories from people who use mindfulness in their lives to increase focus, improve concentration, and discover a higher level of happiness. Interviews will include brain science experts, meditation enthusiasts, authors, entrepreneurs, professionals, and even me. You can find his show on iTunes and his website at www.mindfulnessmode.com and learn more about Bruce at www.standupnow.ca. But we've got him right here, right now, on Consciously Speaking. So welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thanks, Michael. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of your great show. This is excellent.
Yeah, it's absolutely a pleasure. And, you know, it was wonderful meeting you at Podcast Movement. I love it when I can meet my guests face to face. And that's actually where we first connected and I found out what you were up to. And one of the things that still baffles me a little bit, though, even after our conversations and getting to know more about you and what you're up to, is I wonder how mindfulness can help with bullying. Because to me, it almost seems like a bully is the last person who's going to want to employ mindfulness. So what are your experiences around that?
Well, my experiences are that mindfulness can really help. And I'll tell you why. Because a lot of times problems with bullying is because of the way individuals perceive what is happening. So if somebody says something really nasty to me and I perceive it as being an attack, then I'm going to react to that. And depending on the way I react is how that person is going to continue on with what they're doing. So if I react by being angry and being frustrated and he's really getting that kind of an obvious reaction, then probably he's going to continue on with what he's doing because he's probably testing the waters with me. And so with mindfulness, if something happens that's like really upsetting or something happens that throws me off, I'm going to stop. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to be thinking, okay, Bruce, it's going to be okay. Take a deep breath and relax and think about this and give it some time and just think about the moment and don't be so concerned about what might happen with this situation. Just think about, am I okay right now? Yes, I am. And this kind of teaching can help not only our kids, but can help us as adults as well to deal with bullying. And if we do deal with it that way, bullying will be reduced because most people who do bullying behaviors are looking for a reaction. So that's just the beginning piece of that. Does that make sense to you, Michael?
Yeah, it does. And it actually makes me realize I was looking at it from the opposite perspective. I was thinking of the bully being mindful, but you're talking about the person who is being bullied using mindfulness to actually somewhat, it's almost like an Aikido or Judo move where you do not let their energy projected towards you. You don't let it impact you and push back. You kind of let it flow through and it dissipates it.
You are right. Yes, it's about allowing, but not, of course, being a doormat, not allowing things to affect us in such a way that we're just letting people be cruel to us, but just kind of allowing things to happen in our world and realizing that it's when we react in a certain way that it instigates the bully to do even more of what they're up to.
Right, because they've gotten the rise out of you that they're looking for. That's where they get their juice.
That's right, exactly. Yeah.
So, Bruce, why bullying? What brought that up for you? Why did that become the topic that you decided to focus on in your entrepreneurial ventures?
Well, way back in 2003, Michael, I was a teacher in a school, and I noticed a certain seventh grade boy who was outside. I was out there on yard duty, and I noticed that that boy was really, really looking stressed out. He was over by the wall, whereas all the other kids were playing basketball on the basketball court. He was over at the wall, and he was just by himself and looking unhappy. So I asked the other kids, I said, you know, why is he over there? What's going on? What's happening here? And they're like, oh, nothing. It's whatever. It's nothing. And I didn't really get any answers until I did more questioning and asked a few other kids. They said, well, it's because of his accent. And I said, his accent, what? And I knew the boy. He was in one of my clubs that I ran, and I knew he didn't have an accent. And so then I even asked more questions and found out it was because of a very minor speech impediment he had that was barely noticeable. But he was being bullied, and he was being bullied in a very, very cruel kind of way that made him feel completely ostracized from all the other students. And so I took him aside and I talked to him and I said, you know, I really want to help you out. What can I do? And we talked about it. And out of those talks, I said to him, you know, I could probably do a lot more than just helping you. I could help other kids at other schools. I could maybe put together a program, a musical program, since I was a music teacher. So I did end up putting that program together. But I said to him, I said, you know what? It would be amazing if you would be willing to be in a video just talking about what it feels like to have been bullied in school. Would you be willing to do that? And he said, Mr. Langford, I think that would just be too difficult. I don't think I could do it. But a few days later, he came back to me and he said, I've been thinking a lot about this. And he said, you know, I've decided if I could help even just one student, I'd be willing to be in a video for you. And so I got a camera crew together and we shot about an hour worth of footage and we edited it all down to about 3 or 4 minute video. And since that time, hundreds of thousands of students have seen that video and it's really made an impact on many of them. They've told me that themselves. And he's just there very candidly talking about what it actually feels like to have been bullied. And he tells different parts of that journey and how he felt at different times and so on. And so from that time on, I thought, you know what, this is really something that I really want to help kids with. I really want to help adults. I really want to get out there and do all I can. And so, you know, since that time, I've been in thousands and thousands of schools and done lots of keynote addresses and helped out in a lot of different ways with this field, and it's definitely my passion. I mean, I definitely feel like it's the area I belong in. And so as I started to develop into the whole area of working in mindfulness, I just saw a natural connection about how mindfulness can really help in the field of bullying.
Yeah. I'm curious, is that video that you talk about, is that still available on your standupnow.ca site?
I actually don't have that video available on my site just because I do use it in my live appearances. And so at this point, I've decided not to have it on there. It's not on YouTube either because it's a video where he's really revealing himself and talking about his feelings. And so as respect to him, I just show it to students or adults who I'm appearing in front of.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Well, and then Bruce, you know, now that we know the bullying background, which I think is wonderful and noble aspect to pursue for you, when did mindfulness come into your life as a practice?
Mindfulness came into my life between 2005 and 2006. I started really thinking a lot about this bullying piece because I had done the presentation since 2003. And of course, from the very beginning, I read all kinds of material and thought about things and, you know, did these presentations and talked directly with children and adults about bullying and what their feedback was. And I started to realize back then, this really has more to do with how people react to the bullying than it does with trying to force people to stop a behavior. And as soon as you try to force someone to stop a certain behavior, usually you're in trouble because it's very difficult to force things. And if you can teach people how to deal with behaviors, then you can be much more successful. And that was certainly my philosophy. And as I did more and more research and I started to read books by like Eckhart Tolle and some of these people, I started to realize that, you know, we can be empowered in the world by just deciding how we're going to react to things. And if I can help children understand that, then I can certainly help them have a better and a happier life that usually will include less bullying behaviors.
Coming from that school background then, I know with my son's school, not the one that he's at now, but when he was at a school first through fifth grade, they actually had mindfulness. They introduced mindfulness into the school system. Are you seeing that up in the schools in your area yet?
Yes, we are seeing that in various degrees in different school districts. It's certainly being introduced, and more teachers are beginning to see the value of mindfulness in the classroom because it really can make a big difference. There is a tremendous amount of stress there, and students are feeling stress because of social media. They're feeling stress because of testing and test scores and trying to achieve their, you know, all of their homework, get out all finished and everything. There's a tremendous amount of stress in the classroom. So it's certainly being identified that mindfulness is something that can help children and help teachers.
I sometimes feel like at my age, at least, and I think we're probably pretty close in age, that the things that we worried about growing up are so not insignificant, but to a large degree, so much more trivial than the things that the children have to deal with today. And so I love the fact that mindfulness is getting more into schools, and I hope that it continues to grow and becomes just a regular practice there.
Yes, you're right. It used to be that we were more concerned about the physical, I think. We were more, and we were, of course, concerned if people were talking behind your back or people were, you know, insulting you, that kind of thing. But basically, when school was over and you went home, you were relieved from that. You were given a break from all that. And nowadays, with social media and the internet, that is not true for most kids. They go home and they're interacting with other kids and they're on their computer or their device and there's all kinds of communication happening. And some parents, you know, say to me, well, you know what, I can fix that. I'm just going to, you know, shut off the internet. I'm going to tell them they're not allowed to go online. And of course, that's not the reality of today. That usually doesn't work very effectively because my son could just go over to his friend's house or he could go to the library or you know, kids have this, they feel this need to be connected. And that's because they've grown up in this connected world. So it's a little more difficult for us to understand that, those of us who did not grow up in this world of being connected and on social media. But certainly kids today, that's their world.
Yeah, it really is. And one of the aspects you said about someone talking behind your back, that is a huge difference. I mean, if someone were talking about you behind your back when we were young and in school, I mean, they could probably talk to 5-6 people, maybe tops. And nowadays, I mean, it could go out into social media and they're talking about you behind your back to hundreds or maybe thousands of people seeing that.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
Yes, exactly. And there's new tools all the time for communicating online, and students, they get on board with these, and it could be no time at all before you're, you know, being talked about on Periscope or you're being talked about in, you know, different kinds of chats on Snapchat or whatever it happens to be at a given time. And you can really be affected by that. And that's why I really believe it's so important to teach kids about how to react or not react using mindfulness techniques.
Yeah. You just made me think of something too, Bruce, and maybe you're having come recently from the school system, you're more aware of what's going on there, but I think it would be highly valuable for the schools to implement a mandatory class, like make it part of the regular curriculum now, about social media usage and understanding in schools. Is there anything like that going on?
That's a really interesting concept. I haven't seen a lot of that kind of thing. I mean, yes, there are schools get people in and have assemblies and talk about social media. They'll get the police in and they'll talk about social media and what you should or shouldn't do. And a lot of times it's kind of like a muscle approach about, okay, kids, you know, you must not do this, you must not do that, you must not do something else. And the reality is that, like I said earlier, it's very difficult to force kids not to do something or force them to do something, because kids these days, you know, like a lot of kids are going to do what they want to do. And so your idea, I think it's a great one, of talking about social media, talking about the implications, what could happen, and making it clear to kids what their risks are. Because that's what I find when I go out there doing presentations, is that a lot of kids do not realize what their risks are on social media, and they don't take it seriously. And once they really understand the seriousness of it, then they're a lot more apt to make their own decision to stay clear of it, or to be a lot more careful, at least.
I think it would be so awesome to have it as a regular part of the curriculum as well, because the other thing that they're learning as they grow, you know, into the business world of whatever you do, even if you're working for another company or just for yourself as an entrepreneur, social media is such a big aspect of communication. So I think it would be very valuable for them to have some type of a program that, in addition to just teaching them the usage of it and correct etiquette, but also I think if we lighten the load, like you said, if they come in there with muscle and say, don't do this and all the bad stuff, as opposed to, hey, here's how you can use it in a good way. You know, instead of focusing on the negative aspects, teach them how to use it in a way that's going to enhance their lives and improve their relationships. And I think if we approach it from that perspective, it may even have a better impact.
Absolutely, Michael. And you know what? I think the thing is, it's about respect. It's about teaching kids and helping them understand what it really means to be respectful. Because more and more in our world, the importance is on connecting with each other and learning how to do that. And how do you connect with other people? Well, you understand respect. You understand how to be respectful to that person. And part of respect, of course, is being a good listener. That's one of the first things. If you're connecting with people and you're at an event and it's a real situation where the people are right there in the same room, you want to be able to be a good listener and connect, you know, make eye contact, ask them a question, and try to find a common area that you can discuss things on, and then ask more questions. And you show respect by showing interest in what that person's doing. And I think that's a real part of it. And of course, if we're on social media, a lot of it also is about respect and asking questions and interacting that way. And so if you can help children and teens understand what it really means to be respectful, I think that you'll help them learn how to interact more successfully with each other, whether it's in social media or whether it's one-on-one or in groups, in, you know, in real situations.
Yeah, and let me tie that back then to the bullying aspect. So do you foresee us putting an end to bullying, or is it something that's just part of human nature and growing up?
I personally think that bullying, to the extent that it's been going on in the last few years, will be a thing of the past. It's been such a huge problem. And I think that we're going to start to make real tracks where we'll see that there's a lot more empathy in place, and there's a lot more understanding about how to interact and be respectful as human beings. Now, that being said, I don't think we'll ever end having to help our children learn how to do this. We'll always need to be great role models. We'll always need to teach our children about how to interact respectfully and be kind to each other and this kind of thing. A lot of that teaching, though, is in the form of being a good role model and setting up good examples about how we as adults interact with each other. So, no, I think we'll forever be wanting to teach our children how to do this, but I think that it's certainly this whole idea of the extent that bullying has been such a major, major problem, I think that's going to begin to see a reduction.
That's good to hear. Well, Bruce, I want to take a short break here to hear a word from our sponsor, so we'll be right back. Today's episode is being brought to you by the author and mentor, Dean Roberts. In Dean's book, I'll Fix My Head Before I'm Dead, he shares his experiences from his youth to today that have put him on his current path, a path of mindfulness and wisdom. And it is this path that he is now guiding others to follow. Dean is giving a free digital copy of his book to anyone even considering his mentoring services. Just call 607-434-3429 or email Dean direct at illfixmyhead@gmail.com. Dean is knowledgeable and skilled at helping others to discover their own path. So if you're looking to fix your head before you're dead, give him a call at 607-434-3429 or drop him an email. The contact information can also be found on the show notes or on my website at www.michaelneely.com. Thank you, Dean, for being today's sponsor. Bruce, I'm curious, with your podcast now, has bullying taken a back seat or a side seat to what you're focusing on?
Not really. I'm talking about mindfulness a lot. And so in a way, yeah, I'm not doing as many presentations in the schools on the topic of bullying because I am concentrating more on the mindfulness. But I'm still very much into helping kids and adults in this field of bullying. And I just see that I'm shifting. And by teaching about mindfulness, it's helping even more people learn how to deal with bullying. So yeah, I'm certainly doing a shift, that's for sure.
And your podcast launches on what day?
On August 24th.
Awesome. Launching, so that's
August
coming right
24th,
up.
August 24th, yes.
Excellent.
It is.
Well, again, thank you for having me on your show. I really enjoyed it, and I love what you're up to with it. And I'm sure that our listeners here at Consciously Speaking would get a lot out of it as well. So please be sure to tune in and check out Bruce's show. I think you're going to like it. And Bruce, now I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer a question that I feel like could open up some great freedom for you. And you don't have to answer it if you don't want to. I like to give my guests that out. But the question is, what is something you've been hiding about yourself because you think people wouldn't like you if they knew it?
What a great question. I would say sometimes, even though I really believe in being aware of not thinking of myself as a victim, I want to make sure that I feel empowered and I don't feel as though I'm a victim. Every once in a while I think, oh, I just made a statement, and isn't that statement like a victim statement? I'm not a victim. And then I think, yeah, but I just said the statement, and so I'm just saying it as myself. I'm just being me. I'm just being the person I am. And then another part of my brain says, yeah, but Bruce, you know, like, you don't want to be a victim. You don't see yourself as a victim. You're not a victim. So then I guess I would think to myself, I don't really want people to think that I have those victim thoughts. And yet victim thoughts are just part of us, probably. I'm guessing victim thoughts are just part of who we are sometimes as human beings. And so I don't really want people to think of me as a victim. I don't want them to think that I think of myself as a victim, because I don't. But every once in a while, I think about that a lot. And I think that that's something that maybe I don't want people to know about myself.
Gotcha. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And what is your definition of consciousness or conscious living?
Consciousness to me is thinking about the moment, just being in the moment, living in the moment, not dwelling on the past and being all pulled into, you know, what happened and how it happened and speculating about why it happened. It's just not concentrating on that at all, thinking about the now, and at the same time, not concentrating on what you think might happen in the future. And it's so easy to get pulled into that, thinking, oh my gosh, if I do this thing, then maybe this is what will happen, or maybe someone will think ill of me, or maybe whatever. And so not speculating. And so, of course, sometimes I really catch myself, and I have to say, no, just stop, you know, stop that. And maybe even, you know, hey, I think I need to take a few minutes, just go to a quiet room or under a tree somewhere and just take some deep breaths and meditate for a few minutes, and then I'll get back on track. So to me, that's what living consciously means.
Yeah, and you kind of answered part of this next piece of it, but maybe there's more to it as well. I mean, you talk about going off and taking a few breaths, sitting under a tree or whatever, but are there any other practices that you use for yourself to kind of, you know, stay more present and less jumping into the future or the past, to stay awake and conscious and be in the moment.
Just being aware. Just really being aware of where I am at a certain time, because it's easy to, you know, all of a sudden, oh, it's the end of the day, and I'm thinking, oh, was I, like, did I feel kind of tense or stressed out? And if I did, why did I? So just thinking about that. So one of the things I like to do is really be aware of getting enough exercise, because for me, it's so easy to just skip that step, you know, skip the walk that I normally take, or skip the workout that I normally do in the morning. And in the morning, I have a total gym and I work out on that. And if I don't do it, if I skip it, it just doesn't feel right. And so I just really believe in keeping that routine. And it doesn't have to be a rigid routine. It just has to be that I remember to do those things that really help me to feel good and to be aware and to not be so stressed or not to be feeling full of anxiety. So it's been a long time since I've felt those feelings. I feel very calm and very relaxed almost all the time now. So I attribute that to mindfulness.
Yeah, one of the great benefits of it. I so appreciate that. Well, Bruce, we've come to the end of our show, and I always like to close with the guest leaving our listeners with a juicy pearl of wisdom that they could put to use right now to improve their lives today. And what would that pearl be from you?
That pearl is just live in the now. Live in the now. Catch yourself thinking about the past, thinking about the future. Just correct yourself and bring yourself back to living in the now, enjoying the moment, realizing there's no reason to be stressed. Just live in the now.
Beautiful. Great words of wisdom. Yeah, I love that. It's one of the guided meditations I do, is just about being here now in the moment. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
And thank you for coming on the show today, Bruce. It's been a real pleasure. It was great meeting you at Podcast Movement down in Dallas. And I'm excited to, you know, stay connected with you and have you as a guest in the show. And what I would love to do as well is, down the road, if you'd like to co-host a topical content deep dive, I do that show on Sundays. It'd be great to have you back for one of those.
That sounds great. I'd like to do that.
Excellent. Thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, Michael.
You've been listening to Consciously Speaking with me, your host, Michael Neely. Tune in Monday through Friday for conversations with today's premier conscious thought leaders, authors, and coaches. On Saturdays, you can find peace of mind through a guided meditation with a variety of guest leaders. And on Sunday, don't miss our topic of the week, where you can join a deep dive into issues that matter the most. Be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And while you're at it, please leave a rating and a review. You can learn more about the show, check out the guests' bios, leave comments and feedback at www.michaelneely.com. Until next time, live without limits. Conscious Explorers, Michael Neely here. Are you thinking of starting your own podcast? I'd be happy to help you out. Having launched two podcasts now, with this one being a daily broadcast, I have amassed a pretty good wealth of knowledge about how to get things going smoothly and successfully. I'm starting a mentorship program where you'll learn the ins and outs of podcasting, what it takes to get started, what it could mean to you for building your platform, how to grow your audience, and even how to ultimately make money through your podcast via sponsors, affiliates, and more. And I got to tell you, the truth is, you could get all of the information for free. I mean, there are plenty of books out there, and there are even free webinars, but the bottom line is about your time and energy. You can spend hours doing the research and digging up the details you need to know, but you're still going to end up with questions, and you'll still be a bit confused. I know, because I was. I can take away all of that confusion and save you a ton of time. I did all of the groundwork and learned things the slow and tedious way. I even took on my own mentor to really master the craft. And you'll get everything I've learned, plus my knowledge around internet marketing and growing your audience. I'll help you with every step along the way. Everything from choosing the name for your show, to getting your intro soundtrack, buying equipment, from setting up a launch team, to getting your show posted on iTunes.
there's a ton to it. And if there's one thing I'd have done differently when I first launched, it would have been to bring on a mentor from the outset. So if you think this might be for you, book a free discovery call with me today. You'll learn enough in those 20 minutes to know if this is the next step in your own evolution of getting your voice out there. I look forward to helping you.